When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cohn. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cohn in 99. 27 up, 27 down. David Cohn has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Mick Monaco here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. The Yankees take care of business 11-4. You heard the call right here on the Fan. Actually, I'm going to take a call here, Fleeks, but I want to hear some of the Sterling calls, if you can get them ready. I heard the final call was the only one I heard. I caught the tail end of the Yankee post game when I got in my car, because I parked my car here because I ain't paying $50. I park my car here and take the subway from here into the stadium, and then at the end of the night back here. So I heard the final call, but I want to hear some of the home runs. I want to hear some of the big outs if they're in there. The Freddie Freeman home run. Unbelievable, this guy. Unbelievable. And that Torres home run is really big for one reason, and one reason only. Avoided going back to Weaver, and now I feel a hell of a lot better about Weaver tonight. And honestly, to me, this is a Cole, Clay Holmes, Tommy Canley, Weaver. That is it. Those are the four pitchers who are seeing the field. Maybe Tim Hill. Like, that's it. I'm not messing around. No Leiters, no Cousins, no nobody. Hopefully just Weaver and Cole. That'd be great. Get me to the seventh and put Weaver. Now I think Weaver can go two innings tonight. Then it might be dicey game six, even with 2 days off if he's doing all this. But this is it. You got to win this game, and we'll worry about game six later. And we'll see. Listen, and the other aspect about this game, and I mentioned it in the open, is the way Dave Roberts handled it. And, you know, they did get within 5-4. I mean, so they score that, Freeman gets the what looked like a double play for a second, and then quickly you saw the replay, it wasn't. They get the lead, they draw within 5-4 in the fifth inning, top of the fifth. And he comes right back out with Knack in the bottom of the fifth. Now he got through it, and then even for the bottom of the sixth, he's pitching Knack. It's a one-run game. In the sixth inning. And I know Knack has gotten some outs in a row there, but you would think you'd want to possibly try and keep that game close, because you know what happens, man. One game turns into two, turns into three. We've seen it before. Only once, I understand that, but we've seen momentum change. They don't want to get back. You don't want to go back to L.A. The next time the Dodgers want to fly back to L.A. is for the parade. That's it. They don't want to play any more baseball games there. And we'll find out if they'll have to later today. 888-808-1019. Rob in Long Island. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing? Big win.
Big win.
But I got to say, you know, all honesty, I'm a Mets guy. Okay. But I like the Yankees. You know, grew up with some great teams back in the 70s.
Right.
But don't you pitch around Freeman? But intentionally walk him.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I said it. I was standing next to Marash and BT, and I said to both of them, I'm like, I don't know if I throw him a strike. Like, honestly, I don't even know if I throw him a strike. Listen, early in the game like that, to put another runner on, if Teoscar Hernandez goes deep, you're kicking yourself for putting another runner on the base path and making it a tougher inning on Hill. I understand you know, not walking him for sure, but I don't disagree with you. He's the one guy. That's what I wanted to say. I knew I lost my train of thought on something. As much as it's not like an ass kicking, right? I mean, look at the Dodgers right now. Like, to your point, has Ohtani killed them? No. Has Mookie Betts killed them? No. I mean, he's had that blue pit, scored a run. He's played great defense, but no. Mookie Betts hasn't killed them. Teoscar Hernandez has one home run in this series. He hasn't really killed them. Muncy's done nothing. You know, Edmund has a couple of moments, a home run, but like, they're being killed and beaten. They took a 3-0 lead almost strictly on the shoulders of Freddie Freeman hitting a home run every night. So, yeah, it's going to get to the point now where I don't care if it's the first inning, the third inning, the seventh or ninth. Like, if I have a base open, I might walk him.
No matter
the circumstance.
And here's the other thing. The pitches that he's getting, those pitches that he's hitting out, I mean, you look at the replays. Those are some nice pitches right down there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I watched the home run today, and thank you for the call, Rob. I watched the home run today in the first inning, and at least it wasn't a fastball because you just can't throw the dude fastballs. But he tried to have a breaking. He tried to do an outdoor breaking ball that would get back over the plate. It got over a little bit more than you would have liked, but I don't think by any means it was a terrible pitch. It was still kind of low and away. It wasn't a terrible pitch. It wasn't a great pitch. It's still not a pitch I want to throw him with. What was the count? 0-2 or 1-2? It's not the pitch I want to throw 1-2, 0-2, but it wasn't an awful pitch. It wasn't like a hanging breaking ball right down the middle. It was a fairly sharp breaking ball that did maybe catch a little bit too much of the outside corner, but he's just on fire right now. And the Clark Schmidt home run, he just pulled a fastball up and in to him, and he was all over it waiting fastball. I mean, he looks fastball, so that's it. I don't remember the Rodon one as much as I remember the other three, but clearly, to me, the worst pitch of the bunch was the Cortez. You can't throw him a fastball middle in slightly. Like, that's a pitch you just can't throw him. So, I mean, but right now he's just been on fire. He's killing them. Like, that's it. You look up and, like, Ohtani's got two hits. He got a hit in this game off of Tim Hill. So that proves right there that Boone was right not going to Tim Hill, because Tim Hill gave up a base hit to Ohtani. If Tim Hill came in that game in game one and gave up a base hit to Ohtani, game would have been tied and probably lose that game anyway. So clear proof that Aaron Boone was right to bring in Nestor Cortez. Everybody likes to use the clear proof of him getting out Freddie Freeman the next day as proof it was not a good idea. So he gave up a hit to Ohtani. That would have been a devastating hit to give up if they would have went to him in game one. And that's what's frustrating about this, right? I mean, that's the other side of this, is what this series really could be. Because I'm pumped. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited. They played well. And if the bats wake up, like, that's the question. If the bats continue to wake up, if Volpe's going to swing it like this tonight against Flaherty, if Judge, who I agree, the pressure is off, me and Sean were talking about it. I remember he looked at me, I forget what the score was. It was after the Volpe home run for sure. So they had a little bit of a lead. I forget which inning it was. And he just looked at me, he goes, you know what I'm thinking? I'm like, Judge going deep with a lead and everybody saying it's not important. He was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, I know. And then at the end of the game, his last at bat, he gets a single, drives in Soto. It's still a big run. I mean, it's not a huge run. It's not a clutch run. And you're right, the pressure is completely off him at that point. But even if you get that feeling of low pressure, but you hit the ball hard, you got a base hit, you drove in a run, you watched Soto around the bases, you had a moment, you got to give the I'm watching you thing back to the dugout. Like, he just had it. Sometimes that's all it takes. So I'm hoping that that hit, while meaningless in this game, and yes, something if you want to mock him for getting a base hit when it doesn't matter, fine, do that. I don't care. What I'm hoping is that there's more intrinsic value to it than just the RBI. I'm hoping that's a swing that can get him going, hitting it hard, pulling the baseball, having success with it, getting a base hit, watching a run score in, getting an RBI next to your name, feeling good about yourself after a day where you're on base three different times, four different times if you include an error from Edmund. Like, so overall, positive game for Judge. I don't think there's any way to put it. Judge had a positive game. He scored some runs. He stole a base. Although, how about that? Stealing the base up 7 in the 8th, rubbing it in with the Dodgers. But he scored a run. He was on base 4 times, if you include an error. Got a base hit and an RBI. Judge was fine today. He wasn't a game changer. He wasn't who they relied upon. He didn't come through with the big hit that broke the game open or any real significant hit, but he did get a hit. And sometimes just the feeling like you're part of this can hopefully break it open. And at least he was a part of it. He was on the bases a bunch. He made a, you know, a couple plays in center field. He was a part of it. He didn't kill them. Walk in the first inning instead of striking out. Like, take some positives of it. Not nearly enough, but at least he didn't have a disastrous game. Joe in Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
G-Mac. What's going on? Big win tonight.
Big win.
You think we keep the same lineup tonight, or you think we mix it up again? You think we put Giancarlo back in at cleanup, or what?
Yeah. I would think he keeps it now. They scored 11 runs. I think he'd keep it. It's still the premise of keeping the lefties out of the bottom of the lineup, stacked up. I mean, it still accomplishes what you're trying to accomplish. Like, I think it's clearly a better lineup, especially against this Dodger team, if you can do lefty-righty. I don't think there's any question about it. If you could choose how to put this lineup together, you don't want to stack lefties at the bottom. You kind of want to go left-right, make someone face a batter or two of the opposite hand, no matter who he brings in. That's how you'd like to build the lineup. The only problem is you're taking at bats, theoretically, away from Stanton by moving him down. And the idea, again, of, say, Judge getting that walk or Judge getting a hit, and now it's, you know, first and third down a run or first and third down 2 runs, and up comes Jazz Chisholm because I had to split the lefties, so Stanton's hitting 5th. Like, that's my only fear. Same fear I had about moving Judge up. And then you found out today that Boone was considering leading off Judge, which, again, I don't think is a bad idea. He led off most of 2022 and had a tremendous go of it to get him fastballs early on, because you would think, you know, if you put him leadoff, right, he's going to get fastballs in front of Soto and Stanton. And you accomplish moving Glaber down in the lineup and breaking up the lefties and giving you a guy who's hot in the bottom of the lineup, which is valuable. Because, you know, every third inning, you don't want a cakewalk for the opposing pitcher. So the idea that you could lead off Judge, make it easier to go left-right, and then put Torres towards the 6-7-8 slot to manufacture runs at the bottom of the lineup, because he's got an ability to run a little bit, and he's been one of their hotter hitters. So, like, that makes sense to me. But I still come up with the same problem of, if there's a rally, the lineup turns over, and I have to see Judge before I see Soto. Like, if Judge hits 3 home runs in this game later today, then I'm open to it. But then that nullifies the idea of needing to change the lineup. It's all a big facade. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back. Continue to take your phone calls on the Yankees and the Dodgers. And we can mix in a little bit of football as Daniel Jones needs to go desperately. And some of the inside stuff where you're getting the coach fed up with the idea of taking the blame and openly talking about the quarterback not making the right call, not setting the blocking scheme in the right position. You got the quarterback a little bit defensive. It's time to end it with the New York Giants. We'll come back. More of your baseball calls. We'll play some John Sterling sound. And I'll give you another little tidbit of information I've been popping through my head. Maybe we'll even talk a little bit about Brian Cashman and some of the noise I can't stand hearing anymore.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
As the great Eddie Scazzeri reminds me, I don't think any in the World Series, no 3-0 has even gotten back to a game six. It's almost exclusively sweeps and then a couple, a handful of game fives like the Yankees have accomplished so far. So this could be the first time in World Series history we are seeing a game six after the series started 3-0, which would be, I mean, an accomplishment, I suppose. History, for sure. Something to get all excited about. Not excited about, but I have to admit, it's a world of difference about how you feel about the team. Like, you want to see some fight. You want to see some guts. You want to make this. And let's be fair. This thing could be 2-2. Right now, they are a strike away. They are an out away. There are Freddie Freeman popping up or flying out to right field instead of hitting one in the seats away from being tied 2-2 right now. I do not get the feeling that these are two teams who are a mismatch. I really don't. The Dodgers are very good. And yes, the Dodgers are far better than anybody else they've played. Yes. The Padres would have been better than anyone else they played. The Mets would have been better than anyone else they played. The Phillies probably would have been better, although they played poorly in the playoffs. But yes, that team itself is far better than the Cleveland Guardians and the Kansas City Royals. So yes, we all know how difficult the National League is compared to the American League. But I think it's unfair to make that case and then say, well, and the Yankees don't belong. And I haven't seen that in this series. I don't see a team that doesn't belong. They haven't hit, and they blew a game. They blew one game in the bullpen. Otherwise, this series right now is 2-2, and tonight would be just a crazy, crazy atmosphere. And, you know, I wanted to look at the tickets real quick because yesterday's game, the tickets apparently plummeted down to like $400 or $500. I was curious to see if now that they've won a game, obviously to play this game, they would have had to have won a game. But I'm curious what the ticket prices are for this game. And now it looks like $642. Again, this is on StubHub. You might be able to find cheaper than that somewhere else. And that's, you know, then fees or whatever. But before fees, $642 to get into the building later tonight, which is, I don't know, up maybe $150 from where it was 12 hours ago, heading into game number four. But I think there'll be more excitement with this game, knowing it's Gerrit Cole on the mound. They've already won a game. They're coming off yesterday. And this is going to be, obviously, the last Yankee home game of the year. And quite possibly, I'm interested to see how, because the Yankee fans kind of give roll calls throughout the night to Juan Soto. There was at least another two or three other than the original roll call to start of the game. So this could be the last game that Juan Soto plays in pinstripes. It very well could be the last time we see Juan Soto don the pinstripes. I'm sure the fans will let him know how much he's loved and how much they want him back. And I do think he's going to have a good game because I thought he had a bad one. Despite getting on base and scoring a run, I didn't think he played very well. He didn't hit very well, which is fine. He's entitled. He's been carrying the team. He had an off night. And typically in this postseason, I think, you know, three different times when he's had a subpar game, the next day hits a home run in the first inning. So look for that. But feeling, you know, excited about this game tonight. The ticket prices are up a little bit. I think the momentum is going to be great. And we're going to hear the great John Sterling on the call. And I want to hear a couple of calls from earlier in this game. And I heard Susan driving in, talking about people who are going to do their last, as Juan Soto has an opportunity. You know, this could be the last time we see Juan Soto in the pinstripes. You know, this will be the last game that John ever calls at Yankee Stadium. And it could quite possibly, hopefully not, hopefully he's got Friday night, but could quite possibly be the last game John Sterling ever calls, last Yankee game John Sterling ever calls. So soak it in. And it's been welcomed. Listen, I love Emmanuel. I think he does a great job. He's done these shows after the games and everything. I think Emmanuel Babari's got a bright future. He's a great kid, and he's really talented. And Justin Shackle, same thing. I was a big fan of the podcast with David Cohn, Toe the Slab. I'm a big fan of it. I can't remember the name of it. But he did a great job with it. him and David Cohn. He ended up stopping it, but I think he does a great job on the broadcast as well. And in some ways, I fell for them, but it wouldn't have been right. He started the year with them, and John deserved to finish the year with them. And hearing John Sterling on the calls is just right. And I'm glad they got back to a World Series for him, that he could have one more series, and hopefully it ends with the craziest of stories you could possibly believe. But let's see, before we get all there, let's hear some of the calls from John Sterling. You could just start playing some of them, Mike. You could surprise me.
Hudson deals. Swung on and hit in the air to left field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Anthony Volpe put a charge in one. A grand slam to left field, and the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead.
I'm sorry, I want to hear that one more time. One, it's a huge home run. I want to hear it. I want to hear that voice. That was very, it sounded very much like another Yankee broadcaster earlier this season. That's a very Craig Carton, the voice kind of goes. And I played enough of his highlights from when he did Net games and Islander games. There's one, I can't remember what it is, but he's like, the arms went, the voice went, because he cracked when he said it. But I want to hear that one more time, because the excitement, and you can tell John is dealing with, the voice is a little rough for him, you know. But I do want to hear it one more time, because the voice going up is awesome.
Hudson deals, swung on and hit in the air to left field and deep. That ball is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Anthony Volpe put a charge in one. A grand slam to left field, and the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead.
Does he sing for Volpe? I forget what he does for Volpe. I don't even remember. All right, so what else do we got? We got the grand slam.
Now the right-hander delivers. There goes the deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Austin Wells homers in the second deck. And the Yankees now have a 2-run lead in this elimination game. All's Wells that ends Wells. He homers to right. What a shot. And the Yankees now take a 6-4 lead.
That was quite a shot. And I felt good for Wells, too, because he knew it immediately. Drops the bat. Big home run to get that 2-run lead. Big home run. And then I guess let's hear the final home run. Oh, we got some more
Here's
stuff.
The 3-2 to Ohtani. Struck him out swinging.
Yeah.
There's a splitter away.
The Mark Leiter Jr. special. My heart in my hand. What is Leiter doing in that game? I'll never know. But hey, struck out Ohtani. All right, what else we got?
There's a 2-2 to Betts. And he struck him out swinging. Fastball in. So the Yankee pitching struck out the side that night.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, watching the game live, I mean, Mookie Betts, he spun himself into the ground like a top. Like, it was a Babe Ruthian swing. He's taking some healthy cuts against Weaver. But that was a big strikeout, and the bullpen had listen, and even, you know, I know they gave up a couple of runs on a couple of different occasions yesterday, or, you know, game three, and obviously the Nestor Cortez grand slam, but this bullpen's really done a very nice job in the series. They've given the offense every opportunity to win these games, and they just can't take advantage up until today. What else we got?
Well, here's the 1-1 to Glaber. A fly ball to deep right. Betts going back. That ball is gone! It's Glaber Day. He hits a 3-run home run to blow this game apart. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there. So the Yankees tonight have a grand slam, a 3-run home run, a solo home run, and they have a 10-4 lead.
Yeah, good call. And you know what? I love the dual ones. There aren't, I'm trying to think, I don't think there are too many where he's got two different things for him, and I think Glaber's one of my favorites. It's Glaber Day, and like a good Glaber, Torres is there. I almost said State Farm. Like a good Glaber, Torres is there. That's a dual one. That's very good. The only two that really jump in my mind right now are it's a Gardy party and Gardner Plants one. He had two. And you're on the mark, that a text message from Teixeira, and you're on the mark, Teixeira. Those are the only three that I can think of right now that had the double, that had two. But it's always good when you have two. Two is better than one. That's what they've always told me. And I think Glaber's is one of the better ones. I think Glaber is definitely better than the Gardner party and Gardner Plants one. The Gardy party and Gardner Plants one. I think it's definitely better than that. I do like you're on the mark, Teixeira. I don't know why. But I think like a good Glaber, Torres is there, probably is better than all of them. All right, do we have a final call? One more, but final. One more. Let's go. Throw him in.
1-1 from Honeywell.
Honeywell.
Line hard, deep to left field. Oh, it's right. A base hit. Soto around third. He'll score. Judge gets a hard base hit and a ribby. And the Yankees take an 11-4 lead.
Yeah, to Eddie's point, it was such an insignificant hit, I forgot all about it. But yes, of course, you got to play the captain's RBI single. Hopefully he gets going. They still need him to. Now the final
You're wearing
call?
A jersey right now. Isn't it a 99?
No. This is a you're on the mark to share a 25 from the first year of the stadium and the championship team.
I thought I saw 99 here. That might have been Keith or someone else.
Yeah, maybe. No, this is now a Glaber. It was a mark to share a. It is now a Glaber Torres jersey. All right, but that's final call.
Here's the 2-2 to Smith. Swung on a fly ball to center. Judge is there to make the catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Bop, bop, bop. So the Yankees down 3-0 in the series, facing obviously an elimination game, and are down 2-0 after Freddie Freeman's normal two-run home run of the first. And the Yankees came back to win it by the score of 11-4.
Yep. Yeah, John's a little under the weather, but he still does a good job. He fights through it, and the calls are great. And it's just comforting hearing John Sterling and like Fliegelman just whispered, it's now the Yankees' job to make sure that is not the last Yankees win. We got three more to get, baby.
Nobody else knows the smile on Eddie Scazzeri's face as you said that on the air.
Three more.
That was like the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Three more. But, yeah, the great John Sterling, ladies and gentlemen. 888-808-1019. What was I going to say? I don't know. It's 3:37 in the morning. I've been up too long. Long day out at the ballpark dealing with Marash. Not easy. Talking about Daniel Jones of the Yankee game. Yeah, the one thing I'll say is, I don't think he'll get on me. Nor will anybody probably even tell him I said it. But there was one moment where I was a little bit like, I am so nervous about Ohtani. Like, I'm so nervous with Leiter pitching. I'm terrified. Leiter has done a great job. And I know I've said this a bunch now, but I'm telling you, that's how much I was just flabbergasted that Leiter was in that game, in that spot where you've got Kainley. Like, that's the lane. They've been doing the same thing all year long. It's either Kainley, then Holmes and Weaver, or Holmes, then Kainley and Weaver. Like, it's the seventh inning of a must-win game and a two-run lead, and you know Ohtani's going to be up, and you bring in Leiter? I could not believe it. But anyway, could not believe it. But anyway, during that at-bat, during Leiter pitching to Ohtani with a runner on in a two-run game, one out, out of nowhere, BT asked about the holiday schedule that, you know, when are we taking off? Are you working the Friday after Thanksgiving? And I'm like, BT, I can't breathe. I'm so nervous. I'm hiding my face. And Marash posted a picture. If you see what Marash posted where he said, you know, I caught C-Mac in the wild actually getting on Aaron Boone, that's the at-bat. I literally have my hood over my face because I can barely watch. I am so nervous. And all of a sudden, it's like, you guys working the Friday after Thanksgiving? I can't breathe, BT. I don't know what I'm doing. But it was fun. And BT was great, and his son Colton was unbelievable. He got on the screen. He is a passionate Yankee fan. My son is almost there, but not quite as passionate, and couldn't sit there and hang the whole game the way, you know, his son did. And his son's a little bit older than my son. But he was raw. He was wearing the big Yankee chain. He had the flag going. Little man, everywhere you turn, because he was really into it more than most kids. Most of the kids who are around here were either a little bit younger or, you know, not as into it and half asleep and whatever else. He's standing on his chair going nuts. And so every time something happened, you would hear, little man, high five, little man. It was fun. I'm sure that was a great experience for him and BT. The kid's never going to forget that World Series game. Anthony Volpe. Now, knowing how good his son's probably the shortstop of the team, so I'm sure he roots for Volpe big time. That's a great moment. And we had a lot of fun. It was a good time. But yeah. You guys working on Friday? Right in the middle of the Ohtani bat. I was like, I don't know. I'm not even sure I'm having turkey on Thanksgiving right now. Like, please. I don't know if the sun's coming up tomorrow, let alone what I'm doing. Like, I'm crazy. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart? What's going on, man?
Hey, Chris. I'll say this much. It was good to see that they get the win. And yes, it's going to be very sad without John.
Yes.
And John makes the radio call very exciting. He's like totally invested into the team, and it's gonna be a very sad sight, a very sad listening when he's not there. Because the other guy did a wonderful job.
He's the best, and him and Susan, honestly, it goes beyond. Like, this is how I feel. They've reached a level where, honestly, it's not even about a good broadcast or a bad broadcast anymore. They're just part of the fabric of the Yankees. And it's slipping on a comfortable pair of sneakers for the, you know, the old cliche. Like, it's putting on a comfortable pair of jeans. It's just, it's something you just slip into listening to that broadcast. And it's,
and you're like, you expect it every day.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what?
Right. And that's the
be there.
That's what baseball is. It's every day. So love listening to them. And as much as the fill-ins, and I think I forgot to mention, Ricky Ricardo is one of the fill-ins. Ricky is the best.
Ricky's fabulous.
He's fabulous. He's incredible. Yes, he's so good. Obviously. Good.
I'm glad Jazz got a hit.
You're glad Jazz got a hit?
No, Judge.
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you said Jazz. Course, you know? Of course. I'm happy Judge got a hit too, clearly. And hopefully it's a hit that could turn around. There's no such thing as meaningless hits right now for him. And I'll tell you what, I think the Yankees got a little pissed off today. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Mainly two. But Judge got hit in the arm and looked annoyed. I got to be honest. Judge, on like a little bit of a check swing, got hit in the arm, was annoyed going down the first base. You could see it. That he wasn't happy he got hit. Nobody ever is, but it just annoyed him a little bit. And then later in that inning, they pitching to Stanton. Stanton gets hit on a high and tight fastball that they end up ruling a swing, and so it negates the hit by pitch, and he ends up walking. But like during that thing, like they pointed him to first base, and he starts walking to first. And then the pitcher and catcher asked the home plate umpire to check on the swing, and the first base umpire gives you the strike like he swung, and then they tried it. He's not watching that, Stanton. I don't know if they showed this on the broadcast or not, probably, but if not, like, so that's how it went down. He points to Stanton, and then he points to first base, the home plate umpire. Stanton gets up. He's dusting himself off. He starts taking off his shin guard and everything, and while he's getting ready to run to first base, he just saw that he got told to go to first base. They ask for the strike call. You get it from the first base umpire. And Stanton, like, get stopped as he's starting to walk to first and said, no, you swung, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, you probably all know better than I do, seeing it on TV up close and personal with his facial expressions. It looked like he was pissed off. And that's why that inning is so big, because the pop-up from Rizzo as they load the bases there is killer. And then that grand slam is unbelievable. But the other reason why I think maybe, and now this is probably reading too much into it, but in the bottom of the eighth, they're up 11 when Judge singles. So Judge singles, scores Soto, last run of the game. It's now 11-4. It's a 7-run lead. Judge stole second base. Now, I know it's the World Series. No lead is safe. You're going to go to a secondary reliever, whether it's Mesa or anybody else. And that's another discussion about what Marcus Stroman's here exactly for. But they're up 7 runs. He gets a base hit to drive the run in. And he promptly steals second base. Now, again, maybe that's just, hey, it's the World Series. We need as many runs as possible. We can't lose this game, which is a fair. If that's what Judge would have said, I don't know if he was asked about it in the postgame. If that's the answer, it's a reasonable one. I think stopping trying to win is never a good thing. But we know in baseball they have these unwritten rules. They're up 7 runs in the eighth inning. And quite honestly, the way the Dodgers handled the game and who they're pitching and who they continue to pitch as he's getting pounded tells you they're waving the white flag on the game. And I just think it was a little bit of an F you to them. Like, you better get ready because we're going to play and stop hitting us. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like a weird stolen base from Judge. I thought there was something behind it. 888-808-1019. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Wow. If the Yankees do the unthinkable and win the 4 games and the World Series.
Yes.
I don't know if I can put the greatest thing I've ever seen in sports was the 69 Mets.
Okay.
And then I go second in New York. The Giants run when they ended up beating New England in the seven, with their undefeated.
Yes.
I think this would even be in the totality,
yeah,
from the beginning of the season till the end. This would be the greatest thing I've ever seen in sports. For you, I'm sure it would be.
The greatest thing you've ever seen in sports would be them rallying back and being the first team in World Series history and only the second team in baseball history to rally back from 3-0 and win the World Series. Would that be the greatest?
I don't know if I can put it above the 69 Mets. 69 Mets changed the mayoral. 69 Mets changed the mayoral election.
Yeah, I mean, I you could speak to that better than I can. I wasn't around for it.
Sure.
I can tell you that Super Bowl III changed the landscape of the NFL.
Oh, no, but wait, Sal, let me just...
Okay, Richard.
The Jets.
Chris, it's Chris.
Sal, let me just interrupt.
Hey! It's Chris, Richard. Christopher.
Chris, I'm sorry, Chris.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, Chris.
I don't know if I'm more mad at you for calling my name incorrectly or more mad
at you for not being
able to listen to me while I'm trying to correct you.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. No, you're making a point.
The Super Bowl was, I mean, the league was changing already. Everyone gives credit to Joe Namath. That just sort of cemented. They were changing. They were merging the league. They had the common draft. That all started 4 years earlier when the Giants took Pete Gogolak from the Buffalo Bills. And the AFL owners went wild. No.
Well, it legitimized the AFL. And
that's it. But there were no Jet fans in New York back then, by the way. The Jets were a niche team, trust me.
Right.
I loved the Jets. I followed the Jets. But it was like watching the USFL. That's how much the AFL was thought of back then.
Okay.
It really was.
Okay.
They weren't thought of. I mean, of course, that cemented everything. And then Kansas City beating Minnesota to fight. But that was way on the table before that. But, it did give Joe Namath got credit for it. And it was fine. But I think this would be the greatest, close to the greatest thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to. And thank you for the call, Tim. I don't know if it's the greatest thing. in the history of sports. It sound, first of all, for me, being Mr. Yankee Shill, hosting Yankee Hot Stove every hour from 4 to 5, baseball season or not, it probably sounds self-serving for me to say that. And everyone's going to go, oh, of course you said. I don't know. The greatest thing, I got to tell you, now, football's a different animal, different sport, and they, you know, by nature have to win just one game. But the run that the Giants went on, and again, they were better than Tampa Bay, but they go in and take on the one seed in Dallas with that potent team and Tony Romo, take them down, a division rival, the one seed in their building. Then you go into Lambeau with those temperatures, watching Tom Coughlin's face nearly freeze off. I didn't know you could freeze something. I guess skin tags can be frozen off. But like his face almost got frozen off out in Lambeau. It was so cold. And to win the game they did, the way they did, with that interception at the end and the missed kicks and then the made kick against Brett Favre. And then go beat the undefeated Patriots, holding that offense to two touchdowns. Now, I know this is different because it's a seven-game series and they'd have to win four in a row, but I don't know what... You ask me what's more impressive. You tell me, is it more impressive that the New York Yankees would win four straight games against this Los Angeles Dodgers team? Or that New York Giant team that didn't have a dominant regular season? The Yankees are the number one seed in the American League. I know it's a watered-down American League, but the Yankees are the number one seed in the American League. More wins than anybody else. They have the MVP on their team, although I know he's not playing well right now. But they have the MVP, someone who's going to make $600 million in the offseason, and that's just a starting number. They have Gerrit Cole, who makes $300-plus million. They have the third highest payroll in all of the sport. I don't know if winning... If the Yankees winning four straight games against Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Dodgers, as good as they are, and as much as it's never been done before, I don't know if those four wins are more impressive than taking on Tampa Bay, who had a Super Bowl winning pedigree at that point, and a coach in Gruden who'd won a Super Bowl, going to take on the Dallas Cowboys on the road, going to take on the Green Bay Packers and Brett Favre on the road, and then beating what, without a doubt, would be considered the greatest football team in history had they won the game. I would still tell you that probably is a more impressive feat than even the Yankees winning these four straight games. It's baseball. I know it's never been done before. I know. And believe me, I'm not at the point where I expect it yet. I certainly have not gotten there. But I don't know. I still think the most improbable, unbelievable thing I've seen is that Giant run. I think that Giant run is more impressive than the Yankees, who are damn good, by the way. And not that that Giant team wasn't damn good, but I mean, I just think this Yankee team winning four games against anybody is probably more likely than what the Giants did that year. And then they topped it off again. That New England team, without question, goes down as the greatest NFL team in history if they beat the Giants. They're undefeated. They are the greatest team ever. So, I mean, they beat Tony Romo and the Cowboys. They beat Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers. And then they beat, arguably, because if they lose, they are this, the greatest team in NFL history and one of the more potent offenses in NFL history with the greatest quarterback in NFL history with one of the most dynamic wide receivers in NFL history and held them to 14 points and had miracle plays along the way. And as much as I was shocked by Anthony Volpe hitting a grand slam, it's not the helmet catch. It's not Eli getting out of that sack, just heaving it down the field and having David Tyree catch it off his helmet. Like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. If they rally from, if they rally in one of these games down 5 or 6 runs or something crazy, maybe. If tomorrow culminates in like a walk-off home run from Judge or, you know, the opposite, some Trevino or someone unlikely to hit a home run, maybe. Like, you would have to give me the circumstances. But just straight up, the Yankees, a baseball team, won 4 games in a row, which they've done 9 times this year, against a very good but flawed Dodger team. When they were the best team in the American League, with the best record in the American League, the number one seed. I don't know if it's the same as what Eli Manning did and that defensive line did. I don't know. It's close. It's close. Because it's the World Series, because it's never been done, it's close. And the Dodgers are legitimately freaking good, with a ton of guys who make a ton of money and who will be, all of them, enshrined in the Hall of Fame one day. But that Giant run was special, man. It was just special. 888-808-1019. And I'm only one win into this. I got a long way to go before I even contemplate whether or not they can give me the feels that Eli Manning did.